Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments.
Well, David, it's so good to have you back. We enjoyed so much Tuesday learning about Albert Brewer and the lessons he taught you. And how are you today? You still doing well?
Doing well. I am. Thank you so much.
So what's on your heart about what you're grateful for today before we begin hearing about your next small-time leader?
Well, I'm thankful certainly to have the work that I have. And I know a lot of people right now, as we're recording this, it's, you know, deep into COVID and they're struggling with employment, finding jobs, finding work. I'm grateful to have meaningful work and purposeful work. And it's a work that I feel like I'm sort of called to do. And that this work, this sort of missional, economic development oriented work is, I mean, there's no better time than now to be doing it. And that, you know, when times are good, it's, you know, it's easy to claim successes, but when times are tougher in this, what we're doing really more important than ever to try to help build for a strong recovery and all that. So it's good to have impact that's tangible in our work and, you know, see where it's having that impact. And not that it's easy, but it's kind of good to know that, you know, there's that tangible impact and it's really going to, you know, be needed. So,
yeah, to have work that really feel like brings meaning to the world and to your lives you're a lucky man to have that. And I know you.
Yeah. I've got a good team too. I mean, I'm thankful, you know, that I can sit in meetings and it's not always up to me to come up with all the good ideas. In fact, most of the good ideas come from the other people. And so I just have to help enable that. So,
yeah. Albert Brewer taught you how to do that.
Hi, this is Mike. Man, has this been a tough year. I'm currently working with several leaders in organizations and some entrepreneurs who have struggled successfully through 2020. But with 2021 looming, they're all wondering, what move do I need to make next year? With my team that's just tired and wanting some direction, or even for their own career wondering, what's next for me? If you're close to being in this same boat, I encourage you to take a look at the resources on my website, my blogs, books, and tools. And if you'd like to just chat a while about your situation, click on the contact tab, and I'll be happy to set up a time to talk with you. Thank you for letting me interrupt. Now back to the show.
Well, tell us about another person who's made a big difference in your life.
Well, the guy I'm going to talk about now, I'm just going to call him Jack. Jack was his first name, and how I got to know Jack was early in my sort of adulthood, you know, not long after graduating from college and, you know, a couple of years into, or wasn't married yet. And I kind of took a little interest in sailing. Had a couple of friends that sailed a little bit and I would sail with them some and learn how to, you know, do what when I was told or whatever. But I thought, I really want to learn, you know, how to do it for myself. And so I found this guy named Jack who was a sailor and he would teach people how to sail. And so I hung out with him for a while and he, you know, teach me, you know, just certainly practical, almost book knowledge kind of stuff about sailing. But we'd also go out somewhere and do it because that's one of the more practical ways to learn how to do it. And, you know, Jack was a sort of no nonsense guy. He, you know, wasn't flowery, wasn't going to puff you up, but he was going to, you know, tell you how it was. And if you know anything about sailing, I mean, at its basic level, I mean, you know, if you've got a sailboat, you know, you're moving forward because you've got the wind powering you to do it, right? And the whole point is to position the boat and the sail in a position where it captures the wind at whatever level wind you have at the optimal, you know, velocity and optimal, you know, situation positioning so that you move the boat forward. And, you know, you're not always going in a straight direction towards where you want to go. You might have to tack and go one direction and turn and tack and go the other direction so that you can capture the wind the right way. And, you know, you let the sail out maybe, or pull it in tight, depending on, you know, how the wind is. A lot of decisions you have to make and a lot of choices you have to make based on the conditions and what you find and all that. And so one time, Jack and I were down, I believe we were sailing around, you know, Pensacola Bay down that, towards the Gulf. And we were out, you know, just kind of, we were in a, I think, kind of a bay area. So the water was relatively calm, but the wind was blowing a little bit. It wasn't blowing very hard. And I remember he got up and he asked me to take the helm and start making the decisions. So, you know, it was for me to decide the right direction to point the boat, all that sort of stuff, but also, you know, try to judge the wind and decide how much should the sails be pulled in tight, should it be let out, you know, whatever. And I was trying to read the wind, and I was honestly a little hesitant about the decision that I was wanting to make. And
was this your first time really to be at the helm?
I mean, I think, yes, with him, it was the first time that he had just sort of turned the whole thing over to me. I had, you know, probably not even in any other sailing situation been at the helm. So yeah, this was the first time all the decisions sort of fell on me. And, you know, maybe pulled a little bit at the rope to tighten the sail a little bit, but just kind of a little bit, not a whole lot, just kind of pulled it a little and didn't really, we weren't going anywhere. We were just kind of sitting there rocking back and forth. And the, you know, the, basically the elements were pushing us in the direction that, that the elements wanted us to go in and not in the direction we wanted to go in. And finally he lost patience with me and he came over and he yanked the rope tight, pulled the sail in much tighter. He made it a dramatic move as opposed to a little incremental inch by inch move I was doing. And it tightened up, the wind filled the sail, and we started moving. And he just kind of looked at me and said, sometimes you just got to make a decision whether it's the right one or not, and then you'll know where, whether it was. And, you know, he was just kind of disgusted with me, honestly. He was disgusted with my inability to just make a decision, you know. Honestly, that moment really has stuck with me a lot because it's not only true in sailing, but it's true in life too. It sort of really hit me because I am the kind of person that thinks about things a lot. And I, some people are very action-oriented. I'm very thoughtful and I can possibly think too long about something before I make a move, or I'm worried that I'm going to make the wrong move. And Jack that day sort of taught me that, you know, sometimes you just got to pull the rope and make a pretty strong move. And you may not know whether it's exactly the right one or not, but you'll find out once you do. And that's better than kind of sitting around not making a decision, because even that is a decision. Because as I said, we were, the boat was moving. It just wasn't moving where we wanted it to go because the existing wind and the currents were taking it in a different, in a different direction. So you find yourself being carried somewhere, and either you're going to go somewhere you're intending to go, or you're going to go where somebody else is going to take you. And so it really taught me, you know, that sometimes you just got to make a hard decision. The results of that will tell you whether or not that's where you want to go or not.
So, and I'm sure in the work you do, you've had to make quite a few of those. Can you think of a situation where this applied in particular in your work or your life, and what the payoff was or the downside was for it?
Well, I mean, it's probably happened a lot. I would say that, you know, there have been many times in my, you know, leading my organization where I've, you know, the organization has needed me to just make a decision and go with it. You know, at my organization, we, once upon a time, we ran the city's first bike share program and the ZIP program. And we, you know, made a decision to, you know, raise money and do that and implement it and ran it for 5 years. And it was a 5-year commitment. And at some point we had to decide, are we going to find a way to keep doing that? Or was it time to let something else happen? And there was a lot of debate around that. And I could have just let the decision sort of drag out. But finally, I just had to say, you know, it was not for us to continue to manage that. And, you know, just pull the trigger now. That was, I'm certain, the right, I think that turns out to be the right thing. AmeriCity is getting bike share in sort of 2.0 version of it. You know, it's coming we were the one, if you want to call us the 1.0 version, the 2.0 version is coming, and it will, you know, it's best that we don't run that. But we created the market opportunity. We proved it, you know, and that's what we needed to do with it. We accomplished it. But instead of holding on to it and thinking we needed to continue to be the ones to run that, I just had to sort of some at one point finally say, you know, that this may disappoint some people. It may, it meant that certain people on my staff, we had a lot of people on team running that. It meant that those people would be out of job and all that, you know, and so, but it meant that it was a decision I had to make, and I did it. And I, you know, and it was a dramatic move because it was a very public thing, you know, public decision, all that, you know, a lot of people were, had their eyes on us around that decision, but ultimately I think it was the right thing. So maybe that's an example of that.
Oh man, I remember that. I remember when we first got those and what a big deal that was and that call you had to make. So I guess you just said, what would Jack do, huh?
That's right.
And
right.
Sounds like a what a great experience of somebody, because I'm kind of the same way. I can overthink things too. And sometimes you just have to go with it. And what a great lesson to learn. I can see how you applied it. You've moved the city so far and the work you've done. I know you've had to make a lot of hard calls, and we're glad Jack was in your life to give you that model in your at the beginning. So as we wrap up, David, can you let us know how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to know more about your work and what you do?
Sure. Well, I'm at Rev Birmingham, which is a nonprofit group that focuses on the revitalization of districts like downtown Birmingham specifically and in the city, and do a lot of economic development, small business support work, that sort of thing. So we have a website, which is www.revbirmingham.org. And if you want to email me, I'm at dfleming, F-L-E-M-I-N-G, just one M, dfleming@revbirmingham.org. Anyone who's got a great idea, we like to say we love to find passionate people and powerful projects and feed them. So if there's somebody out there that's got a great business idea, development idea, or something that would be beneficial to place-based revitalization, we'd love to at least talk about it and see if there's some way to make that happen.
All right. Well, David, thanks so much. We'll have all that information in the show notes for David Fleming. And David, thanks so much for being with us today and sharing your stories and wisdom, especially about Jack today. You have a good rest of your week, and hope to see you soon, maybe in Rotary again sometime.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'll come back anytime.
All right. Thanks, David. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control, but I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.